This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. Don't be taking any of Rosenberg's garbage, Michael and Donnie. The Michael K. Show starts right now.
Thank you, Roman, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Monday, February 1st, 2021. It is snowing out like you wouldn't believe it. Now, this is the start of Super Week on 98.7 ESPN, and it's brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, sports betting, all-suite hotel rooms, and thousands of slots. Your closest resort experience, Resorts World Catskills, only 90 minutes from New York City, so close. The strange thing is, Michael Kay, along with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg, in the old days, we haven't done it for about 5 years, but in the old days, we would be down at the site of the Super Bowl doing our shows. Now, we've decided over the last couple of years, probably not the best way to spend our time.
No.
Especially if there's not a New York team involved in the Super Bowl, because I don't think that everybody wants to hear 4 hours of Super Bowl and 4 hours of people pitching their wares. Okay, all well and good. But if we were down there now, Don, we would be able to actually hang and congratulate the new 24/7 champion, Peter Elliott Rosenberg. I mean,
thank you.
I don't know wrestling. I don't watch it a lot. Sure. I don't know what this means, but it seems like it's somewhat prestigious. And you know, Twitter blew up yesterday actually won the 24/7 championship, and I'm in a word trouble.
Well, you shouldn't. You should feel joy for your friend and colleague accomplishing something so great. I don't know what to say, Michael. It was a blur. Yesterday was a blur. But here I am, 24/7 champion. At some point today, I won't reveal when yet, but at some point today during the show, I will reveal the gorgeous title for our viewers on Yes. But it's been a whirlwind. It's been a whirlwind the last, well, how many hours have it been? 15, 20 hours as 24/7 champion. A lot of responsibilities, by the way. I didn't realize how many I'd have. Obligations as champion.
Really? I didn't realize there were.
Oh, yeah. So many obligations. But it wasn't, honestly, last night was an amazing, fun night. It was an incredible Royal Rumble in general. And obviously, watching our audience just go crazy on the internet, the celebration and joy, like sincere joy from our listeners, just kind of celebrating me having this childhood dream come true is pretty awesome.
Here's a problem I have, Peter, if you don't mind. You know, it always has to come around to me. So this guy that you underhandedly took the title away from, R-Truth, right?
Yeah, good guy.
You take the title from him, and this is his reaction.
I'm going to get you, Michael K!
How do I get dragged into this? I have nothing to do with this.
I think he thought that I was you. I think that's what that was. Now, either that's what I'm hoping for your sake. If it's not that, then he's looking for you, and that's a separate problem altogether.
Don, how do I get dragged into this?
I don't know.
Your brother's
what do you have that he
wrestling
needs?
Aficionado. I don't want to be a part of this.
Oh, that doesn't bode well for Peter that he's the champion and the person he took it from doesn't even know who took it from him.
By the way, but isn't it perfect, Don, that when there was a New York Post article about it today, the title was I'm gonna get you, Michael K.
Yeah, I saw that.
Even when I win a title, the title of the article is still Michael K.
Well, that
no matter
that
what we do, Don.
Well, that kind of confirms that if we're all on the same plane and it went down, you know, Michael and others perish would be
so
how
bad.
It would be remembered, considering you won a title and Michael K gets the headline.
It would be see ya, Yankee announcer and others perish in flight.
I don't like it because there are people that critique sports in this town that hate wrestling, and they're going to say that I have co-opted myself into wrestling. I have nothing to do with this. Peter works for the WWE. Peter has the title. I'm an innocent bystander. They're using my name.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point that is going to happen.
Well, I don't think you should worry about what certain people have to say, Michael.
I worry about what everybody says. I'm very thin-skinned.
But I just worry about your back, too, because apparently this title gets taken away at some point, and I don't want you to be the one that gets beaten over the head instead of Peter. Peter should be the one to defend this title, not you.
Well, yeah, Michael, you're no spring chicken. If R-Truth gets his hands on you, Michael, you're in serious trouble. He could choke you out in the middle of a Yankee game. See ya!
Because this is a wrestler. We all saw how Peter got that title, by the way. didn't exactly go mano a mano with the guy.
Yeah, didn't exactly cover himself in glory. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know what? I don't want to talk about how I won the title. It's just that I won the title. But, Michael, I have a question for you. Michael, if I asked you to guess R-Truth's age, what would you guess R-Truth's age was? Just looking at
it. In the 20s.
In his 20s?
Yeah.
In his 20s.
Right.
That's exactly. Well, listen, I'll tell you what. When you get a chance, go look at his Wikipedia page, and your head will explode.
Really?
This man is in shape unlike anything I've ever seen before. That's what's so impressive about what I did yesterday. Honestly, the fact that man has a 24-pack, and I still managed to pin him. Did you see him struggle? He was fighting, and I barely could hold on. I barely could hold on. But fortunately, I dug deep, and I think he may have slipped because it's a pretty slippery surface. And, hey, you get some luck, and you use your brain, and now a dream has come true.
I got to tell you this, Don, and this might be going a little bit too far, which is I was going to ask Anthony to pull this clip from the Chappelle Show, but I am the overstepper. And, the way he pinned R-Truth yesterday, that's not the Rosenberg I thought would be in that position. Over the weekend, so I'm a little concerned. I really am. It wasn't.
There we go. There we go again. Habitual line stepper. Yeah. And my parents are probably watching today in my house.
Right.
And have to deal with this filth.
In a moment of
this
glory.
This filth, flarn, filth. In a moment of my family should be celebrating.
Right.
Instead, they have to deal with this.
But now, they might be celebrating just what I said.
But Peter made a very cogent point that or Michael did, that the pin exactly wasn't the most athletic thing in the world.
No.
I worked for a channel I was even on when I saw it.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, some people said that it looked like Pornhub, didn't it? That's what
no,
I heard.
See, no. Listen, I'm not a professional wrestler at all. I'm a commentator. So I had to do whatever I had to do. And from a leverage standpoint, that was the way he fell, that was the best position. Throw my entire body on top of him and get leverage and try to get a three. And that's exactly what I did.
Get leverage, Don.
That's what they call it now.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
R-Truth is 49.
He's 10 years younger than me.
I know.
Similar shape.
Yeah, but he's like 20 years older than you thought he was.
True.
Yeah, you said 20s.
In his 20s.
Oh, okay, so I was wrong.
No, but I just could have. It's not picking on you. It's just a good job out of him.
All right, so.
Well, no, but.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it could be picking on Michaels. When you think about it, they're not that far off in age. And just think about how much worse Michael looks.
I look terrific.
You do. You're a great-looking guy.
Really? No, I'm not great-looking, but I look terrific for 59.
You do
anyway,
a great job.
There's a risk here, Don, a risk that I do not want to deal with, that we're going to talk about this for 4 hours, and I don't think
I don't want to. No.
You're going to reveal the title, you said, what, at 5:45?
Yeah, some point, 5:30, 5, sometime. Just listen throughout the day, and at some point I'll make my big reveal.
Oh, so
but I want it
might be
something.
Sometime other than 5:40. Okay, interesting. All right.
Might be. We'll see.
Interesting. All right.
You're not going anywhere.
No one's going anywhere today. You know, we've been in quarantine for a long time. Now there's no choice but to be in quarantine.
No.
You can't leave the house. True. And, Don, please, I sent you something from a medical website yesterday. Please don't shovel this snow. For me.
No, I've got
for our listeners.
I've got the snowblower. There's going to be like 2 feet of snow out there when this whole thing is over. It's
right,
been snowing
so
in my
child,
house.
Let some child do it.
At my undisclosed location, it has been snowing since 12:30 yesterday afternoon. And has not stopped. And will not stop until sometime, in the morning tomorrow. So, no. This will be.
Wow, it's that crazy.
Yeah, you're not landing anytime soon, Petey.
I rebooked for Wednesday. You think I'll get in Wednesday?
Yeah.
There's a chance. But I would think that you could fly in on the wings of your title.
That's right.
Well said.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so the big news was the trade of Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff of the Rams, going to the Lions with a lot of draft capital as well. The Lions, I think, took a calculated risk here. Stafford wants to go. They get a couple of draft picks back. They take on Goff's salary for essentially 2 years. They could get out of this after 2 years without any hit at all to their cap. A lot of the hit remains. I think the dead cap hit for the Rams this year is like close to $25 million. Stafford could do some great things with the Rams, but here's my problem with everything. You're the quarterback whisperer. You're the offensive genius. You're Sean McVay. You're the guy who bestowed $100 million-plus in guaranteed money on this guy, and now you essentially give draft picks away to give them away. Why couldn't you fix him? What did you see that was so wrong? What happened in the time that he brought a team to the Super Bowl and then in these playoffs played with a broken hand, with a screw in his hand, and still played fairly well? What happened that you had to get rid of him so quickly? I don't quite understand, but a lot of people think that the Rams did okay, and one of them is our buddy Dan Orlovsky. And Dan was on KJZ this morning, and he said he loves the Stafford trade for the Rams.
It's a home run for the Los Angeles Rams. Listen, the Rams right now are in a two-year window. They're not building for the long term. They have chosen to go from good to great, or at least take the chance to go from good to great. And they wanted to pair two greats together. Like, Sean McVay's a great offensive mind. He's a great head coach, and they're going to pair him with a great quarterback. And so for the Rams, this now vaults them to that top three or four list when it comes to Super Bowl contenders next year, especially in the NFC, guys. Like, the NFC, there's question marks. Mm-hmm. Green Bay's at the top. But they have some pieces that they're going to have to try to re-sign. We'll see what happens with some of the pieces in Tampa Bay, obviously. But this was a no-brainer for the Los Angeles Rams. It gives Matthew Stafford the opportunity to actually be on a really competent football team. And so I love the move for them.
I'll tell you one thing. We all go crazy over first-round draft picks, and the Rams have not had one and will not have one from 2016 to, I think, 2023. And every year they win nine or more games, and they're a threat to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
So maybe first-round picks are kind of overvalued.
Well, I just think you look at what the Rams are right now, and it's exactly what I was going to say, what Dan said, is that they've got a window here in a wide-open NFC. I think Stafford's an upgrade. He'll turn 33 this week. So he's still relatively young. He's a little. He's obviously older than Goff. But forget about did he was Goff broken? Did he not be able to fix Goff? It's an upgraded quarterback for the 2 years window that they have right now to maybe get to a championship. Breeze is gone. Brady's going to be a year older. They just came off beating Seattle, right, with the quarterback situation they had and Aaron Donald on one leg. All right, they've got the best defense in football. They can win that division. San Francisco's in flux. Arizona's still a couple of years away. The NFC East, there's nobody really there yet. You've got Green Bay to contend with for sure, but this is a team that played with Green Bay in Lambeau, despite the fact that Donald was hurt and the quarterback wasn't as good as what they're going to have now. They've got a world-class talent coming in here with this defense, with weapons. I mean, this puts the Rams in the next 2 years in the conversation to go to a Super Bowl. And if you got a chance to do that, don't you have to do it? You have to do it.
The question for me, though, is just, did going to Stafford, how much did that make them more of a contender than before?
I think Stafford is so much better than Goff.
I mean, that's what the trade suggests. The trade suggests they did not have a quarterback before, and now they have a star. And the way I viewed it was, they had a pretty decent quarterback before, and now they have a really good quarterback. To me, that's not enough. Going from pretty decent to really good, and I understand wanting to get rid of the contract, Goff's contract, but still, I don't know, man. That's a lot to give up for the level of upgrade that is.
I don't think it really is, because even if they kept everything as it is, they're still a playoff contender. So you gave up a couple of picks that would probably be in the mid-20s. You got a quarterback that came off throwing 26 touchdowns and over 4,000 yards. He threw six more touchdowns than Goff did on what I think was a better team.
That's an interesting point, that if they were going to be pretty good, if they were going to make the playoffs the next 2 years anyway, you're not talking about special picks.
Because look at that division, right? I think Arizona's still a work in progress. I think Murray's going to get there, but I'm not sure it's going to be right away, right? San Francisco's actively looking for a quarterback, and they just came off beating Seattle, and Seattle looked awful in the second half of the year with a defense that is not what we remember, and with a quarterback that, quite frankly, cost them games at the end of the year. Now, I still think Russell Wilson's a really good quarterback. Are you telling me even with Goff, the Rams couldn't win that division over the next 2 years?
No,
they'd be a play. Now you upgrade a quarterback, now you're in the conversation, so what are you giving up? You're hoping you're giving up a couple of picks that are going to be in the late 20s for a chance to maybe get back to a Super Bowl. I think you got to take advantage of that when you can.
Now, Mike Tannenbaum was also on KJZ, and he said the Rams took a big risk with this trade.
I think this has a lot of risk to it, though, from the Rams. They are so top-heavy. When you think about what happens if anything happens to Aaron Donald, something happens to Jalen Ramsey, They have a very, very small window. They may not even be able to keep some of their key free agents like a Ty Hill, Josh Johnson, really good players because of their cap situation. And to go 8 years without a first-round pick, in my opinion, is really irresponsible. And when you think about the skill players that Matt Stafford had in 2020, when you think about guys like Galladay, Marvin Jones, Danny Amendola, TJ Hockenson, I think the Rams will be really good next year, but it's not a huge upgrade. So the Rams put all their chips in the middle of the table, and we'll see what happens.
Now, the one thing that I would disagree with Tannenbaum about, if you lose Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, you ain't getting another Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, even if you have cap space. In the middle of the season, you're not. You've got to build depth with young players and hope that they can fill in. There's no way you get a player of that level talent to replace a player of that level talent. So to me, that's irrelevant. You're not just you just can't do it. It's impossible.
I just think when you have a chance to do something, you got to take advantage of it. And it stinks to go that long. And he says irresponsible. I could say you're almost irresponsible for not trying to go for it when you can. I don't think they had a quarterback, in my opinion, that was going to get them there. And you saw when Goff got hurt, there wasn't much of a difference in play from the backup quarterback to the starting quarterback. Now you bring in a kid that's 33, still young, young-ish at least, that I think's got a big-time arm that is just hungry to play with some weapons and with a chance to go to the postseason. And I think you've upgraded. Now, I don't know if you're going to get there, but I think you got a shot. Now, maybe do I think differently about it if you're in the AFC and you got to climb over some really, really good football teams? But in the NFC, let's face it, I love Tom Brady. I mean, Tampa took advantage of what was not a really great NFC to go to the Super Bowl. And the Rams are probably thinking, why can't we be that?
I mean, now, listen, in the end, the Bucs beat a really good Packers team, but you're right. The fact is, we're looking at this team is...
No, but think about it. It's also a team like the Giants. They went on the road and won three playoff games. A wild card team is coming out of the NFC winning three games on the road. All right? So I'm sure the Rams are looking at it and saying that, hey, we could be that team if we got ourselves a big-time quarterback. Why can't we be that team?
Now, Adam Schefter was on with Greeny, and Greeny asked him, how many teams were interested in Stafford?
I think there are a lot of teams that make calls. They had varying levels of interest, right? But the Carolina Panthers checked in. The Chicago Bears checked in. The Denver Broncos checked in. The Indianapolis Colts checked in. Washington, New England, San Francisco. What is that, 7, 8, 9 teams?
Yeah.
Whatever the number is, it's probably 25% of the league. And the fact is, if you made a call, just a call, that tells me that there's a chance you'll make other calls this offseason.
It was also reported this weekend that Stafford said he would go anywhere except New England. Didn't want to go to New England.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And supposedly Washington was one pick away. They got outdone at the last minute.
He would have been a nice fit for them. Would have been a nice fit.
He was my number. I mean, Watson's not realistic. Stafford was my realistic hope that Washington would get.
I kind of always looked at Matthew Stafford as Archie Manning, a good quarterback just on a team that was never going anywhere. I'm really anxious to see where he can go with a legit coach, a legit defense, and some weapons. I mean, he probably would want to have done it maybe 5 years earlier, you know, because 33 as a quarterback is kind of getting up there. But, you know, we've got a 43-year-old about to play a Super Bowl. So, I mean, he's got a few good years left here, guys, and let's see what he can do, because I think he's just – he's a kid that's thrown for 5,000 yards. In 2011, he threw for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns.
Oh, no, he's throwing up some numbers, boy. That's for sure.
This is a guy that should be good next year. This could be a guy that's going to throw 30 touchdowns, have a quarterback rating of around 100, and should be a playoff quarterback.
Did you see the video going around Twitter this weekend of that moment from several years ago, maybe his rookie year?
Oh, it was unbelievable.
When he separated his shoulder and finished the game?
Yeah, he was mic'd up, too. It was amazing.
He's a tough incredible.
Guy. Tough guy.
He is.
Now, obviously, you would think that this trade and the draft capital involved in getting it done would impact what the Texans, if they decide to move on Deshaun Watson, would want from Deshaun Watson. We'll get into that when we get back. Rick DiPietro has texted in. He wants to ring in on Peter's title.
I'm sure he does.
I don't know how to read this, Don, so I'll just read it out. In related news, R-Truth is now carrying Peter's baby after that pin technique.
Save DiPietro!
You know, I understand why he would try to make a joke at this moment, because when people look me up, you know what they see next to my name? Champion.
What? Really?
Champion. That's right. That's right.
Wow.
I really know getting around this, guys. He's a champion. He's a wrestling champion.
And now I can relate to guys like Chris Canty at the radio station. You know, it's a certain class of guys at the station, and we understand what it's like to be a champion in athletics. Not everyone's going to fit in.
And ask yourself this question, Peter. Is a ring really a belt?
That's not even close.
Who's gathering around in the room to see what? The ring or the belt?
No, the belt is special. When a championship belt shows up, people gather from far and wide. Oh, come look at my ring. It could be anything. This? You know what this is.
Are we going to see this later?
Yes. But I wanted to... Was it
out kissing babies now? What's going on? You getting it polished?
No, I just have it resting because I want to have a moment. I want to have music. I want it to get the oomph it deserves, the respect
for the
title.
Well, I did have to clean it after last night.
Now, Peter, I would like, when we go to break, you're going to have to do something for me.
Go ahead.
I don't know where the WWE puts you up. It looks like some kind of La Quinta. You got to close the curtain.
All right, I'll do that.
You got to close. I mean, you're killing everybody. It looks like you're half glowing, which I'm sure you are because you're a titleist. Don, big news. The Mets have acquired Jordan Yamamoto, a right-handed pitcher from the Marlins, for infield prospect Federico Polanco.
I did see
big
that.
News.
I did see that pop up my alerts because I got the MLB app and as a Met fan, so any Met things happen, it popped up. Very exciting. It's huge.
Don, we got to talk some Rangers too a little bit later on. I mean, seriously, talk some Rangers. Some serious stuff going on.
Yeah, I got the dope.
I have legitimate questions about it.
Good. I'm ready for you.
All right. So we'll have a lot on tap. Also, Dustin Pedroia of the Red Sox. Retires with a .299 career batting average. Don, two hits away from 300.
I know. I felt that way. I think Keith Hernandez finished with like a .298. That's got to stink.
That was
right?
Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle, it bothered him forever.
Just so close.
I couldn't live with it.
But you don't have to because you're a 24/7 champ.
I'm not a 22/7 champ.
No, 24/7.
Thank you.
But the one thing Peter can't say that every other champion can say,
go ahead,
is that they can't take it away from you.
They can. Yeah, no,
Peter's going to have to defend this.
But hold on. But they still can't take it. Don, even if one day down the line I lose this title, I'm still in the record books, though. They can't take that away.
That is true.
Thank you.
Now, who keeps these record books? I mean, does Guinness have a WWE record book? Or?
Well, WWE does, and people like Wikipedia, and of course fans have them. I mean,
wrestling encyclopedia, like the baseball encyclopedia I showed last month?
Well, it's not as big as the baseball encyclopedia.
Now, some people say that you winning the 24/7 is as disgraceful as David Arquette winning it, because that was supposedly the other low point for the 24/7 title.
No. So that's why people who say that are cretins. David Arquette won the actual WCW main heavyweight championship.
Oh.
There is a difference, although this is a title, and I love this title, and I treat it like my child. It's not the same as the World Heavyweight Championship. Those are very, very different things.
So David actually won that one.
Yes, and people lost their minds back in 99.
Who are some of the former 24/7 champs?
You know, Don, you could look that up during the break. You'll find some interesting names.
I think Enes Kanter is one.
Yeah, I think you know what, Don. On second thought, you don't need to look this up.
And Gronk.
Gronk. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, two good ones. Those are two good. Let's leave it right there. Those two good ones right there.
1-800-919-3776. How does the Stafford-Goff trade affect a possible trade of Watson? We'll talk about it, break it down, take your phone calls as well. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LeGreco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. So how does the Stafford-Goff trade affect any trade for Deshaun Watson? Now, the Texans have come out and said that they are not trading him. They have no intention of trading the player. That's what Nick Caserio said. But you would assume at some point they have to explore it, especially if he's not going to show up. He has scrubbed Houston Texans from all of his social media presence. He just says Deshaun Watson athlete, not Deshaun Watson quarterback of the Houston Texans. But a lot of people just think because Deshaun Watson's so much better than Matthew Stafford that the haul would be so much more in terms of first-round draft picks. But Don and Peter, when you think about it, the Jet pick that they own at number two and the Dolphin pick that they own at number three, which ironically enough is the Texans' original pick that they gave up for Laremy Tunsil, those are worth at least three times what the first pick is that the Rams gave the Lions. So you can't. It's not apples and apples. It's like apples and kumquats. It's just different. And the number two and the number three pick are worth a whole lot more than the draft picks that the Rams gave up.
Oh, it's not even close. So yeah, it's a different stratosphere, a different player. But yeah, the second you're talking, because the Rams are going to draft where this year because they were a playoff team. I don't know.
I think 23, 24,
or something like that. Comparing it to the number two pick, you know, this year. Where you've got, you know, two really good quarterbacks that you could pick up or a bunch of teams that need quarterbacks that might trade up for that. Now, the value is just astronomical. Plus the ability for maybe the Jets to give up another first-round pick in this very same draft. And maybe the first-round pick in next year's draft. So there's a lot to consider there for sure. But it's I don't know how much one affects the other because there's so many quarterbacks available, right, Michael? So but nobody has – Nobody has the age and coming off the season he had that Watson has. And plus, Watson seems like he's kind of built for today's NFL, right? When you look at what Jackson's doing, when you look at what they're hoping that Kyler Murray can become in Arizona, that he seems to be like the prototypical type of quarterback that you want in this league. So I don't know how one really affects the other.
This is, I mean, we'll see what Deshaun Watson, who's capable of even playing in the Deshaun Watson water, right? We have no idea. Like, I don't imagine Washington's able to, so I don't think about him that often. But Stafford was the other guy. To me, do you guys see a precipitous drop-off in terms of what's available after those two?
Well, you got Matt. You probably have Matt Ryan. Andrew Brandt, who's usually right on with this stuff, he doesn't think Rodgers is going to be traded at all. He also doesn't think Deshaun Watson's going to be traded. So that's why the Rams acted when they did. They probably got the best quarterback available.
I hear from people who say they think that Rodgers is actually going to go, and I'm like, why? What is it that we – what are you basing that on?
Sounds like your friend.
Who?
Ballard, who, by the way, got rid of his Twitter feed.
He did?
That's what I was told by people.
What? Wait, when I was busy winning the 24/7 championship, Ballard left Twitter?
Yep.
Ballard!
Which is a bigger story if you think about it.
Hold on, I'm going to look. But, yeah, I mean, no, I didn't hear that from Ballard. I've heard it from elsewhere. But I just don't see – and by the way, someone made that up. He's definitively still on Twitter. But, yeah, I don't see why you'd believe that Rodgers is going anywhere. If it's just that when he goes on with Pat McAfee, he kind of, like, leaves out this idea of, oh, you never know. To me, he's just playing games.
Now, what better situation can he go to?
That's my point. And by the way, the best one just got taken.
Right.
I would argue that was the bet. Matt right. Stafford, for what Matt Stafford's life has been the last decade, he got as good a situation as humanly possible. An incredible defense, some good weapons, and Los Angeles. Can't beat it.
Right. And now he's in the same city as his childhood friend.
Who's that again?
Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, Clayton Kershaw.
There's
right,
a picture of them as kids in the same Little League team. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. We go to Rick in Neptune. Start it off, Rick.
Hey, Michael, Don, and Peter. How you guys doing today?
Really well. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. You know, just trying to stay safe with all the snow out there. But I just want to congratulate Peter Rosenberg on winning the WWE 24/7 championship. That was really, really cool last night. It's probably one of the better Royal Rumble overall pay-per-views I think they've done in a few years. And, Michael, the reason why R-Truth said your name is, like, his gimmick is that he's always confused. So, like, he knows, like, it's Peter Rosenberg. He just said that because, like, he didn't even realize the Royal Rumble match is going on. He always thinks it's, like, something else.
I mean, he's always fell for, right? He, oh, he John Cena's over there. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but I guess it didn't take him much to get that confused. But hey, Michael, your name got mentioned on a major pay-per-view in a major WWE event.
You know what I extrapolate that out to, Donald, because you've known me a long time. So where do you think I'm going to go with this?
That you're going to go down this wormhole of being criticized as the Yankee announcer being
No. Wrestler. I mean, that's going to happen anyway. But what I mean, you're using my name on the show. So what am I thinking?
You should be paid.
Don't you think I get a little scarole here? Scarole?
A little scarole?
Well, I don't think Peter got any.
Peter gets paid for the WWE work. He doesn't do it gratis.
But not by winning the title. You think money exchanged hands for this title?
Of course. He's got a valuable belt now.
Thank you very much, Michael. That's a great point. I will tell you, my price just went up in general. The price went up, baby.
But how much for a cameo now?
Oh, God. You know what? My parents already, the other day I was telling my parents. They're paying for cameos from you?
Unbelievable. No. You can't do it for free?
I was explaining Cameo to my parents, and they were asking me about who was on it. And when I was telling people what people were charging, my parents were, they basically were calling me a loser.
They were disappointed. $10 a pop.
No, please. I'm $54.99. But there, I was telling them about people who were charging $400. By the way, do you know what Floyd Mayweather, first of all, the fact that Floyd Mayweather's on Cameo is like, that's like a documentary in and of itself. But Floyd Mayweather's on Cameo, and do you know what he charges for one Cameo?
I think it's like $900, I saw.
$1,000.
Yeah.
$1,000 a Cameo. But my God, how much gambling are you doing if you need to have a Cameo in your Floyd Mayweather?
Yeah, it's in a word, troubling. Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Good afternoon, buddies, everybody. We're just home from work. The roads are horrible. Stay home if you can afford to.
Absolutely.
And welcome to Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Listen, interesting trade. A couple of sidebars I haven't heard anybody mention. You know, when Goff got hurt and Wolford came in and was running all over the field making plays, that obviously something snapped in McKay's mind, and he decided this is the type of quarterback that I want. And 2 weeks ago, they actually signed the Steelers' third-string quarterback, Hodges Devlin Duck, who was running around, who was a similar quarterback to Wolford. So if you were going to go with the starting quarterback of Wolford, Duck would be the type of guy you'd bring in to be a backup. Now, maybe the Stafford thing popped after that, but it's obviously that he did not want a Tom Brady Jr. quarterback, which is what Goff is to me. He made stars out of Cooper Kupp, Ron Woods, a couple of different tight ends. He's a very good quarterback, but he's not going to be the one running all over the field making plays. And the coach just decided that that's not the quarterback he wants. He wants a guy who can run around, and now he's got it. But it's certainly putting all your chips to the table because he's only got 3 or 4 years left. He's had a lot of injuries. And I disregard a lot of the statistics that Stafford has accumulated because when you're on a bad team losing by 30 points, you're playing fantasy football at that point. You have four touchdowns, and none of it means a thing. So
prevent defense, everybody
exactly
playing defense.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right. So it's an interesting trade. I can't remember a quarterback who actually won a road playoff game and been in the Super Bowl in the last 3 years getting traded. It's certainly unprecedented, but, you know, all chips in the middle, and now we'll see what happens.
There's got to be a story, Danny, beyond this. Now, the L.A. Times is reporting that the Rams made a run at Aaron Rodgers first, and they were told that that wasn't going to happen. The Packers informed the team that Rodgers wasn't available, and then they made the move to get Stafford. They were decisive. They obviously don't care about first-round draft picks, and they made the move.
I just think that they saw a chance to upgrade. And certainly Rodgers is better than Stafford, but, you know, Stafford, I think, is better than Goff. And somebody had sent me on Twitter that the stats have been very similar over the last 4 years. But I think the Rams have had more weapons. They've been better coached.
Stafford never has a running game.
And I know you can make the case, as you guys did with Danny, that, yeah, it's garbage time. You're not playing in a lot of big games. There's a lot of yards out there to get because your team's down by 14 points. I don't know that the Lions have been that bad. You know, I think they just haven't been good enough to be able to be ultra competitive, but I don't think they're losing by 30 points every game and he's just getting garbage stats. He doesn't have a lot of weapons around him. Now he goes to a legit offensive mind where there's weapons there on a defense that's going to give him short yardage short fields and give him a chance to win. And we'll see if he can do that, but I think he's going to have a much better chance to win. I think this is an upgrade. And if you think that you are a playoff team even without making the deal, and you can upgrade at quarterback, now I think you're in the conversation for the Super Bowl. Tell me they're not. I mean, because I had bet the Packers in our picks, Michael, in that game against the Rams in the playoffs, and,
right.
and the Rams the Packers broke it open late. That game was close. That game was close in Lambeau with Aaron Donald on one leg, and then the Packers were able to take advantage of that and open it up and eventually win the game. I think it was like 38-17 or whatever it was. But with a legit quarterback, they might win that game.
I think you're right. They came close to winning that game, even
right,
with
so,
a yep. quarterback that they obviously hate.
So,
I mean, they must really hate him because essentially they gave those draft picks to the Lions simply to get rid of the contract.
Right.
Because the Lions are taking on the money. Yeah, they get Matthew Stafford back, but most of that draft capital was given to just get rid of the money.
I gotta tell you, you've now changed my mind on this deal. I admit it. I really, over the week, all I could think about, Don, was like the fact that it was number ones and how crazy it is as a team. You know, what was the RG3? Two ones, a two, and a three or something?
Right.
It was something like that. And I just remember thinking, never again, that's so insane. But you're right. When you think about it in the context of simply picks that are not special, late first round picks, if you really think you're getting to this point, it changes my view of it.
All right, let's take a quick timeout, towel off. We got a lot of things to do today. Still have to talk about the Ranger situation, which is a big story. It's kind of weird. And Don has some information that he could share with us. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, 24/7 champion Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Oh, my goodness.
One, two, three, go 24-7 check.
Oh, here is your winner and the new 24-7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
Here's a problem I have, Peter, if you don't mind. This guy that you underhandedly took the title away from, R-Truth, right? This is his reaction.
I'm going to get you, Michael K.
How do I right. get dragged into this? I have nothing to do with this.
I think he thought that I was you. That's what I'm hoping for your sake. By the way, but isn't it perfect, Don, that when there was a New York Post article about it today, the title was, I'm gonna get you, Michael K? Even when I win a title, the title of the article is still Michael
right.
K.
Well, that kind of confirms that if we're all on the same plane and it went down, you know, Michael and others perish.
The Michael K Show.
See ya, Yankee announcer and others perish in flight.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Hope you're doing well. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you have terrible snow outside. So hopefully most of you are consuming us in your home. And if you are in your car, please be careful. The roads are just treacherous right now. Jody went outside to walk the dog, and the dog disappeared in the snow. It's so deep, so please be careful. If you don't have to be on the road, do not be on the road.
Well, especially you got to let these municipalities do their job, right? So if they're digging people out of cars that are abandoned on the street and all that, then they can't do their job of trying to clear the roads and staying ahead of this thing. Things not going to stop until tomorrow morning. So if we're going to get things back to normal by Tuesday – they've got to focus on that and not trying to, you know, get cars out of ditches someplace, you know. So if you don't have to leave, just hunker down.
Now,
Michael, real quick, I'm sorry. I don't want to bother you or be inappropriate, but I just think from now on moving forward, it should probably be K. LaGreca, 24/7 champion Rosenberg, and you.
Is that what you think?
It's like a doctor. It's like a, you know what I'm saying? It's my title
right.
now.
Right.
Okay. So just something
you could lose that title, and then I don't have to say. Do I have to say former 24/7 champion?
No, that's outrageous. But for as long as I'm champion, I think it's fair.
All right,
but
how about this? What if I call you champ?
Oh, yeah. Don, that would feel tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. We'll call him champ.
But not in a sarcastic way. You're like, hey, good luck there, champ. Not like that.
Right.
Not like that. You don't want the italics on it. You just want champ.
Yeah. Yeah, like when you call like your cab driver boss, because he's clearly not your boss. Right. I want a real champ.
Right, right.
I'm kind of jealous. Like I'm missing this.
If you're in a pizza store and they go, champ, what do you need, champ?
Yeah, no, not that. But that I'm kind of jealous. Me. I'm missing this blizzard, by the way. My dad sent me video, too, of Bear in the blizzard. It looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing to look at. It's not amazing to drive in.
Yeah, so no. That's
help everybody stay
home.
Safe.
Well, if it's going to happen, I guess, during a pandemic when you weren't going anywhere anyway.
Now, if you do the research and go look at the record books, and they do keep these records, check out the night of February 1st into the day of February 2nd, 1961, and there was a snowstorm for the ages in New York City, so much so that they called an emergency vehicle restriction. You could not drive in New York City. You were not allowed to drive. You would be arrested if you drove. And the only way you could get in a car was for an utter emergency, which is what my father had when my mother started to know that she was giving birth. So he got to the hospital, and only one other family was in there, and it was a Chinese family. And my father used to always joke, we know that they didn't switch the kids. Both sides knew. The little fat, chubby baby and the little Chinese baby, they got to the right family. So that it happened 60 years ago, the same sort of snowstorm.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Dustin Pedroia retires today. And I was seeing a funny story by Jason Stark, and then we got to get to the Ranger stuff. So David Ortiz has said that Dustin Pedroia is his favorite teammate. Everybody who's ever played baseball with Dustin Pedroia loves him because he's a small guy, got everything out of his talent, actually revealed during the press conference today that he had partial knee replacement surgery in December. So his knees were shot. He could not play baseball anymore. But like a couple of years ago on the field somewhere, somebody comes up and he's talking to Pedroia, and then he walks away the guy and goes, all right, Dustin, thanks a lot. And then David Ortiz was close by and he said, What did he just call you? He said, he called me Dustin, Poppy. Well, why did he call you that? Why would he say that? He goes, it's my name. He goes, that's your name? Ortiz had been calling him Pee-wee for 12 years. Did not know what his first name was. And Dustin said, I played 1,600 games with you. At least 5,000 times. You're behind me in the on-deck circle. You've got to hear them say, now batting, Dustin Pedroia. Never knew his name.
That's almost Ricky Henderson-esque, isn't it?
Yes, it's amazing.
That's...
Isn't that amazing, champ?
Peter. It sounded amazing. But with the champ there, I don't know. I can't tell if it was sarcastic or not, Don.
No, I was asking if it was amazing.
You're going to have to get over that, Peter. I don't know.
All right, I can only do so much,
Don.
Really,
honestly, you got to take
that's
what you
my
get
own,
here with this.
No,
right?
And it's my own ego problems. I have to believe that I'm worthy of being called champ because I am now a champion. I have to believe that in my own psyche.
I mean, it's one thing to get Michael to say it. For Michael to sell it is a whole other thing.
All right, yeah, that's
so
a great point.
The Rangers are off to a somewhat troubling start. Before we even get to the D'Angelo stuff, you know, at the entry-level knowledge that I have of hockey, I find it very strange that Coach Quinn has come out and said, we don't have a starting goaltender. We're going to alternate until we make a decision. And everything that I know about hockey, you've got to let a goaltender get into a little bit of a groove. So one day it's Shesterkin, the other day it's Gorgiev, Shesterkin, Gorgiev. It doesn't matter if you win the day before. Don, is this unusual to you, too?
Well, it's not unusual when, you know, the main guy leaves in Henrik Lundqvist and everybody wanted to hand over the reins to Igor Shesterkin because he won 10 of the 12 games
that
he played last year.
But that was the plan, Don.
Say again?
That's the plan. Shesterkin
well, that's
is the
plan,
starter.
But you know what? You got to play like it. And Alexander Georgiev has been a good goaltender in this league, too. You know, he was the forgotten guy. He was the one that I was saying, you got to keep him and let Hank go. All right? And now neither of them have really particularly played well. So right now it's, all right, guys, who wants this? So I have no problem with that because neither goaltender has really stood up and said, I should be the guy. Now, Georgiev had that great game, too, where he shut out the Islanders. You know, but then since then, he's been very pedestrian. Same with Shesterkin. He's given up some tough ones. He was given a couple of straight games, and, you know, he lost them, and he did get that, you know, the one win in overtime. But otherwise, it's the same script every night. Take a lead into the third period, lose it, either in regulation, overtime, or the shootout. They've been involved in six straight games in which the game has been decided by a goal, and they've lost five of them. And some of them have come where you look at the goal and say, yeah, you'd like to have that one back. So no, this isn't where we went out and acquired a veteran, and he's our number one, and we've got this young guy that's looking to one day take the reins. You've got two guys, in my opinion, that are both on the same plane right now. They've both accomplished the same amount in the league. So the better goaltender, please stand up.
All right, so now after it was Saturday's game that they lost in overtime.
Yes.
Tony DeAngelo, was put on waivers, which surprised a lot of people, and he's cleared waivers today. So I guess the next move is the Rangers and DeAngelo's as well.
Right.
What's going on here? Because this is not some scrub player, Don.
No, he's not. He's a player that right now, at 25 years old, with a couple of years left on his contract, is a $4.8 million cap hit. All right, so that's why nobody picked him up, is because that's a lot to pick up. He's got 2 years, $9.6 million. He makes $4.3 million a year, but it's a $4.8 million cap hit. All right? What happened on Saturday is Rangers lose in overtime. Sidney Crosby gets the game-winning goal. DeAngelo's on the ice for four of the goals, all right?
And four of the five goals.
And he's on the ice for the game winner. There was some confusion between him and Georgiev. And from what I understand, Georgiev leaves the ice, and DeAngelo's giving it to him. And Georgiev had enough, and they had an altercation, all right? The reports that K'Andre Miller was involved in it or that Kreider punched DeAngelo, all not true, all right? They got into it. It was broken up. Georgiev feels very bad that it happened. It's just that he had just lost the game. He hates losing, and he's getting, you know, screamed at by DeAngelo, which has been a problem all year, and he took issue with it. And it
was DeAngelo's been screaming at him all year.
Okay. DeAngelo screams at everybody. That's been the issue, all right? See, there's a feeling that there is a cancel culture that's going on here with DeAngelo because of his pro-Trump tweets and reportedly joining Pollard and all that stuff. No, the issue is that he's a hothead. All right, he's gotten in trouble with coaches, with players on his own team, and like in the situation that happened on Saturday, and with officials. And he took a really bad penalty in game one of the season. He screamed at the official, took it on sportsmanlike conduct, got benched for the next game. So he cannot control his emotions at all. And it's been an issue, and they've talked to him about it, and now it's come to a head where he's getting an altercation with a teammate. All right, so there were rumors that he wouldn't give K'Andre Miller the puck after he got his first NHL goal, that he had issues with him because Miller's black. All not true, all right? I know that there's a lot going on with DeAngelo, but it's just as simple as he cannot control his emotions. He can't control himself. He's a minus six this year, all right? He's played terribly. And they had enough. And the altercation on Saturday was enough, so they put him on waivers.
It's a bad look for the Rangers. They gave him a $9.6 million two-year extension in October. They didn't know he was a hothead?
Well, they were hoping that this is the problem that you run into when you have a guy that's Italian. He had 53 points last year. He was terrific last year for the team. But he'd have these bouts where he just does not get along with anybody. And it became a real issue. So, if you want to say it looks bad for the Rangers because they gave him a contract and now have to get rid of him, but I look at it as that they thought they can control the situation. It's now gotten out of hand, and they're dealing with it. So they're going to have a press conference in an hour. They'll be able to explain all the details, all the ins and outs. What's going to end up probably happening is he's gone, all right? He's not going to report to the American Hockey League. They're not sending him down. They're going to trade him. They're going to have to work something out. And what's going to stink is that in order to move him, they're probably going to have to eat some of that salary to make it attractive, because they tried like heck to deal him. They have been trying to deal him, and they haven't been able to get anything done. So they were forced to then put him on waivers. He wasn't claimed, and now they'll have to figure out another avenue in which to part ways with him. But, you know, listen, you got a new administration in here with John Davidson, you know, and I'm sure John looked at it and said, all right, this guy's got talent, but I don't like what's going on here. So You could look at it as a bad look for the Rangers. I look at it as it's a situation they tried to figure out. They couldn't figure it out, and now they're going to cut ties. And I'm not sure how many teams will have an appetite to deal with his attitude.
And it's amazing. It stinks, so if somebody doesn't step up, right? If somebody doesn't step up and he doesn't report to, what is it, Hartford?
Yeah, no, but I don't think they have any intention of sending him to Hartford.
Right, so if somebody doesn't step up and take him, they're going to be on the hook for $9.6 million over 2 years.
Well, I'm sure there will be a team, Michael, that will take him if the Rangers are willing to take some of that cap hit away. Like I said, $4.8 million cap hit is a pretty extensive hit for a guy that can come to your team, you know, and be an issue. I mean, so and there's a history there. I mean, you can look it up yourself of situations in juniors where there's been hate speech and all the stuff that has gone on since the insurrection has really been, you know, has been really bad. With there's allegations of he's got burner accounts and he stopped on Twitter, and like I said, there were rumors that he was joining Parler, but wow. None of that is about what's happening here. It's just that the Rangers just can't control him anymore. And he's gone. But all that baggage, Michael, is going to be very difficult to move, because I'm sure there's a lot of other teams that don't want to bring that baggage into their organization.
Who would?
Is it true that he didn't give DeAndre Miller the puck?
No, it's not true at all. That is not a true story. See, this is what's happening because of the MAGA affiliation. People are trying to make this into a race thing. They had a problem with Miller. He got along with Miller. There was no issue with Keandre Miller. So I'm defending D'Angelo in that situation in the Rangers, that there was the puck was given to the trainer. They're putting it in a frame as we speak. All right. So there's no issue there. That's all kind of made up stuff to kind of create the narrative of that the Rangers are canceling him because of his right wing beliefs. That is not what's happening here. What's happening here is a player that is not, and he's not performing. Like I said, he's got 1 point and he's a minus six. He's been awful this year, and they are done with dealing him. Just now in the business of trying to move him, a lot of that baggage is probably stuff that they don't want. There are certain organizations in certain places in the country that might not want to have to deal with
that. But wouldn't that be relatively quick at this point in the season, given the season he had last year, or no?
We mean relatively quick to move?
To be done with dealing with him.
Oh,
with
yeah.
In this contract. But also, I can't even imagine that it would be because of his political beliefs. I mean, the team is owned by James Dolan, who put a lot of money into, you know, the former president's campaign. There's no way it could be because of political beliefs.
But I think it's kind of gone beyond just
right
that kind of political, because again, it's gotten what is true and what's not true. That I can't tell you, as far as whether he really had a burner account, whether he's threatened people on Twitter, all those different things. I mean, you're going beyond just we're cutting ties with him. But these rumors about trying to put poor Keandre Miller, who's a really good kid, having a terrific career, and trying to drag him into this situation, trying to create some kind of race thing as like a reason that the Rangers got rid of him. It's not a true story. He got along with Miller. Miller's not involved in this. So all those reports about that, just please shelve that. That's not the issue here. This is not the Rangers getting rid of some, you know, racist bigot guy. It's the Rangers getting rid of a guy that's just someone that they have not been able to control. So that Miller thing didn't happen. Chris Kreider broke it up and punched him in the face. For what I'm told, those things didn't happen. It was an altercation between him and Georgiev that apparently Georgiev started physically because D'Angelo was in his face, and he feels bad about it. But the Rangers had just had enough.
Now, a story broke, I believe it was yesterday, that Major League Baseball has offered the Players Association the opportunity to delay spring training a month, delay the opening of the season a month, play a 154-game season, and get paid your entire salary. It would also include a universal DH, and it would also include expanded playoffs. And it would mean that baseball this year would accept the postseason going into November, which Fox doesn't necessarily like. And they have to have an answer by today. I've been looking on Twitter. If you're watching on TV, you could see me looking down to see if they have answered. But a lot of people are saying that they're going to say no. The players are going to say no. Now, I know you turn to us and you look for expert analysis. And I've got to tell everybody, I don't know why they would say no to this. Spring training is supposed to start on February 15th or 16th this year. The first YES broadcast of Yankee spring training games would be sometime toward the end of February. And the first game of the season, if it's a 162-game season, is April 1st. So this proposal is that they would report to spring training toward the end of March, and the season would start toward the end of April. And I guess they'd have a lot of seven-inning doubleheaders and whatnot. And everything I hear is that the players are going to say no. So I've spoken to a couple of people about it, and they say the players are just in no mode. They know they have a CBA that they're going to negotiate at the end of 2021. They don't want to give the owners ever anything. And the feeling is, again, I don't know what the real deal is, but the little whispers I'm hearing is that they feel that the expanded playoffs are worth more than what the owners are giving them. But the owners are also giving them 162 games of pay for 154 games of play. So there's no pro rata or anything like that. The players say, we're ready to go now. We want to go now. So I don't know if it will be delayed. Players look as if they are determined to play a full 162 and report to spring training in the middle of this month. That's what I'm hearing. Don and Peter, or Don and Champ, I wish I could tell you exactly why they would turn this down. I don't even know if they're going to counter with another offer, but it doesn't seem like they want a delay.
They just want the confrontation. That's what just bothers me. We've had this conversation before. It benefits the players. All the things that they're being offered eventually benefits them. Getting fans in the seats means more money for the sport, money, more money for them. Expanded playoffs means more money for them. But they've just gotten to the point, Champ, that they will argue that the sky is red and not blue. Whatever the owners feel, they are just going to go the opposite because they want to pick the fight. That's all they want to do because they know they're eventually going to have this. And that's where we all become losers, right? Like, I kind of laugh when they say, well, how are they going to go back to the – they're not going to have the DH this year and then go back to it in 2022. Let's hope there's a 2022. Because at this point, how much are they going to go at each other now where it's almost like the players want that fight? They want that lockout or strike to make back what they lost in the last CBA. So I don't even know if it's about a proposal, Michael. They could offer them – you know, they can offer them play one game, we'll pay you for 162, and they'll say no just to pick the fight.
Is it me, or is it just like every single subject that they could find a way to make things more difficult for their sport they do?
Here's what bothers me, Champ, okay? It really does bother me. Why is this stuff, why is it public? It's not an election. We're not voting on this. The players are voting on it. Why does it get leaked out? Why does the owners obviously leak this out because they want to make the players look bad if the players say no. Why does that matter?
Because
it shouldn't come into play.
They're using the court of public opinion.
For what? It doesn't matter.
That they'll end up losing the court of public opinion in the worst way possible. Because they both look bad. The baseball looks bad. Everybody is fighting like heck to try to play. And they're going to possibly not play in 2022 or have sniping back and forth at each other. Not because of protocol. Not because of what's best for the players and their health. It's because of money.
Joke. Just a joke.
And don't say it doesn't hurt.
I look at the proposal. I go, well, that's a pretty good idea. They look at it and don't think that way. So I don't know what they're thinking. I wish I could give you an informed reasoning on it. I don't even know if they've turned it down yet. That's the thing I've heard, that they are going to turn this down. Are they going to counter? I don't know. I think they're dead set on playing 162. Because they're saying if you start a season at the end of April, 154 games, there are going to be too many doubleheaders and not enough days off. And it's going to be tough on the players. That's some of what I'm hearing. We've got a very interesting guest coming up. The wide receiver, Brandon Cooks. He was with Texas this past year, so he could talk Deshaun Watson. 2 years prior, he was a Ram, so he could talk Goff. Year prior to that, he was in the Super Bowl with New England, so he could talk Brady. Started his career in New Orleans, so he could talk Brady. We could talk. Let's put it that way.
So, this almost sounds like the drop of Don trying to name teams his career.
Yeah, but I got it right. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I have one more Dustin Pedroia story. You're going to love this. He told this one. I guess he's close friends with David Wright. And he was injured. The Red Sox were playing the Mets. And there was a pop-up near the Red Sox dugout. Wright came over to the fence in front of the dugout. Couldn't make the play. And looked at Pedroia. He goes, hey, little guy, are you able to see over the fence? And Pedroia looked at him without skipping a beat. He goes, you know what? I'm not, but let me go get my World Series rings. I'll stand on them, and I can look you right in the eye. That's a good burn. Right, champ?
That's very good. Now, by the way, speaking of the champ, if you're interested, we need you to keep your radio on, of course, but it's a snow day, a lot of people home. Michael, I'm going to unveil my beautiful piece of gold on Yes at 5:45. Nice. 5:45, the big reveal of the title.
Also, Michael, quickly on D'Angelo, too, the Rangers do have the option of buying him out in June for a third of the value, so won't be as much of a cap hit, and it's a little cheaper because he's under 26 years old, so that could eventually be the option if they can't move him.
Oh, there you go. Towel off. We have Brandon Cooks up next. We'll take some phone calls as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Michael Kay Show, everybody. Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and, wow, boy, it's getting a little obnoxious already. The 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
Are you ready for it?
To hear this, Don.
I think we're going to hear it until
forever.
Forever. I mean, this is his dream, right? This is everything you ever dreamed about, Peter.
Sickening.
It's all come true here.
Are you guys ready?
All day, so do we get a chance to see this belt?
It's a title, Michael. It's called the title. It's a championship.
Okay.
And here it is in all her glory.
Oh.
My 24/7 championship. Mom, I did it. I'm a champion. Bear, as soon as I get back, as soon as the snow clears up, I'm coming back to New York, and I'm bringing back the WWE 24/7 championship. A dream come true.
Now, Peter, I have a serious question to ask you. So you won it last night. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you sleep with the belt? Or the title, as you call it.
Excuse me?
Did you sleep with it?
I did.
You did?
I did. Yes. Not wearing it. I slept with it next to me on the pillow next to mine.
So you spooned it?
I didn't spoon it, but I did. I gently laid it on the pillow next to mine.
Right. Really?
And while I slept, I actually rewatched some of the Royal Rumble. I was reading some of the text messages and tweets. And every once in a while, I would just reach over and touch my baby and make sure she was really there.
Excuse me?
Oh, wait a minute.
The title.
If hockey players can sleep with a Stanley Cup, you know, if Butch Weiniger can roll around in single-dollar bills.
No, that was Randy Velarde.
Whatever. It's the same person.
Why couldn't Peter sleep with the belt, right? Thank you, Don.
Come on. Michael, you live your dream. But here's the difference between our dreams and Peter's dreams, is that there it is. He can hold it. Our dreams are just subjective. They're kind of just in the ether. His dream is wrapped around his shoulder right now.
Wow.
It's a belt. It's a title.
Listen, the truth is, it was a dream to work for WWE, and the idea of ever getting to have any sort of title that would put me in the record books, even if it was just a fun, you know, one-time opportunity where I took advantage of a very vulnerable situation, even if that is just that moment, to be in the record books, it's forever. When you go to my Wikipedia page from now on, it will always say championships and accomplishments. That's listed now. Championships and accomplishments. And it will always say one-time 24/7 champion. And on top of that, I plan on holding this title for a very long time.
I plan on holding it,
at least until WrestleMania in Tampa this year. And furthermore, I'm already one of the longest reigning champions of all time. There have been other people, you know, so-called champions, who got this title for a second, and then a second later they get rolled up and lose it. I've already had the title for nearly 24 hours.
It's
on
amazing
my way
to me because it almost seems like you were scheming. I mean, I watched some of the video of it.
Almost.
So you've been scheming about this for a long time.
Well, I see this guy. R-Truth shows up to every one of our kickoff shows.
Right.
He hangs out at the panel. He calls me Michael Kay.
Why does he do that? It's really annoying.
He's a great guy. He gets easily confused. He always gets my name wrong.
I'm gonna get you, Michael Kay!
And then yesterday, he kicks me out of my seat. So, At that point, I have a friend who happens to be a referee. I signaled to said referee, and I did what the great wrestling minds of wrestling history would do, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Ric Flair, whoever you want to think of. I took advantage of that moment, got the referee, did the business I had to do, and now you're looking at a champ.
Oh, it was business. There's no question it was business.
Thank you.
And R-Truth kind of, the way he treats Michael Kay is the way, like, my children treat Michael Kay. He's more of a concept than a person. It's like
That's
when I go down
I
into the basement,
it's
always going Michael Kay work. So is truth like that? Like Michael Kay is more of a sense of being than an actual human?
Like an abstract.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, but either way, I was tickled when I saw that he screamed, "I'm going to get you, Michael Kay," after I had taken the 24/7 championship. So,
all right, so
it was fun.
While this was all happening, it was a very, very, very troubling loss for the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, yep. They scored 140-some-odd points and lost, and they gave up two threes within like 2 seconds of each other. It was, as you would say, Peter, in a word, troubling.
Troubling. It was troubling.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, and Washington's not a good team either.
No. By the way, Washington's a straight-up bad team, but I'll tell you one thing. Bradley Beal, who was sleepwalking at the beginning of the game, when Bradley Beal decides to wake up and finally play, you realize what you're dealing with and the sort of level of play. We're talking about
Peter,
an all-star.
Peter,
yes.
Do you have a balcony?
I do.
I think there's somebody coming in behind you, bud.
Yeah. You got to look.
I'm telling you, there's somebody behind you, Peter.
Like, I didn't see anyone. But
well,
be very careful.
Yeah, be very careful, man.
Somebody again.
No, there's definitely somebody behind you,
Peter,
brother.
Watch out.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on.
Hold on.
John,
what's happening?
Hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
I think his title's on the line.
This is not good.
Oh,
is he going to be able to
hold this
title
next
by
week?
WrestleMania? Oh no! 1, 2, 3. See ya. That's it. Rosenberg has lost a 24/7 championship.
Michael Kay. Oh. First time, long time. Hey, Don. Oh. What's up? This is my legacy, Peter Rosenberg. Hot 97. More like hot 24/7. That's all, folks.
Well,
wow.
Congratulations on getting your title back. Wow.
Oh.
Peter's
so cocky.
I mean, no more than like 30 seconds ago, he planned on holding this.
Till WrestleMania. Can't even get it to ENN.
He didn't even get it. My God. Wow.
Two words. See ya. Wow.
And troubling.
Do you believe, Don, that he is going to recalibrate enough to do ENN?
Is this almost worth winning, to lose it in this fashion?
No, this is an embarrassment of the – I mean, first it was embarrassing the way he got it, and now it's super embarrassing the way he lost it in his hotel room.
Yeah, because now we can critique it, right? That was not exactly the pin of the cinch.
No, neither was his.
And now it's – oh, well, I saw a legitimate pin and looked like the bathroom over there. Wow. But what I saw last night was, I don't know what that was. But you know what? He was the champion, and no sooner did he get it. I mean, that belt's not even cold yet.
You know what's amazing, Don? That he went from the number one guy, 24/7 champion, in the bathroom, he went to number two, which is appropriate. You know what I mean?
Yep, the title flushed down the toilet.
Let's hope that he's able to collect himself and doing ENN coming up in just a moment right here. Wow. Kay LaGreca and the former 24/7 champion Rosenberg. Wow. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.